You're listening to Classical Music here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm your host, Matt Jackford, here with a very special guest, Maestro Andre Rafael, director of the Wheeling Symphony Orchestra, and he's here with us today. Maestro Rafael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matt. It's always great to talk with you.
You and the Wheeling Symphony have a concert here coming up on Friday, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Capitol Theater in Wheeling, and it's called Inspired by Dance. So how'd you come up with that program name?
Well, this particular program on the second half features works by Ravel, which have their basis in the dance. Ravel's La Valse, the Waltz, and also his very famous Bolero. And so that seemed a very important way to be able to provide some linkage in this program, because each of these works is very special, I think, in terms of not only the instrumental colors which are highlighted, but also in the way the pieces actually came about. And so that connection to dance music is really a very important one for the construction of the second half of the program.
Right, and let's dig into that, those Ravel pieces, including La Valse. And some people say that it's sort of a metaphor for the aftermath of World War One. The piece, you know, starts out calmly, but eventually sort of crashes and burns at the end. What do you think is the meaning behind that piece?
I think that there's some truth to that, that it is a metaphor for, you know, perhaps the general attitudes around that period. I think that this piece is intended, La Valse, is intended to both imitate and poke fun at the Viennese waltz. And so it's the reason that in the beginning it starts very mysteriously. And as one goes throughout this piece, one experiences various takes, shall we say, that Ravel has on Strauss waltzes. It's very interesting. He finds a way to communicate through his own language, but to use those elements which we have come to associate with the Viennese waltz. And I think there's something about the way the amount of time that this piece takes, and eventually it finds a certain sweep to it that I think only Ravel can provide. This tone poem, which is really what it is, helped to find a new musical language, but that in the scope of this waltz, he sort of clarifies his intentions, Ravel does, throughout this piece. And that, I think that's the beauty of this great waltz.
Yeah, and the other piece you all are doing by Ravel is the Bolero, and this is a piece that sort of starts off with just, you know, snare drum and bass drum. You have the sort of cadence that sort of builds up and repeats over and over again. Some people say that Ravel may have been going through a period of Alzheimer's, where he would want to hear repeated things over and over again. I don't know. Do you think there's any truth to that?
This I don't know. What I can say about this piece is that what strikes me about it is that it really seems a study in orchestration and instrumentation. You know, in the various colors of the solo instruments which he uses to play these two themes. And I'm always struck by that because he's finding ways to bring out the best qualities of those instruments with each of the solos, each of the statements of the theme. And I think it's quite stunning that, you know, through very basic elements, you know, that he's able to give us the feel of what is really, you know, a Spanish dance. So I think of it very much of the bolero very much as being, of course, the Spanish dance, but also in terms of the orchestration and the instrumentation of the way he uses the instruments of the orchestra.
Right, and there's that famous trombone solo there. Who do you have playing trombone for you?
Mr. Thomas Polinsky. That's going to be someone who's going to be with us this week for the first time, and I'm sure that he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, that's always exciting. As a low brass player, I always enjoy that solo. It gets kind of sky high there. How do you sort of pace yourself in that piece? You know, it's a long piece that just builds and builds and builds. Do you do anything to help, you know, pace yourself?
Well, I think part of the key to success with bolero is, I think, the steadiness of the tempo and going after the dynamics Ravel had in mind. You know, because it starts from nowhere, and then the goal is that, you know, by the time you reach, you know, the last third of the piece, that then the full orchestral colors will come to fore. But I think that happens by, in a sense, allowing the personalities of the solo players to shine through.
And in Friday's concert, you're going to have a very fantastic pianist, Christopher O'Reilly, who's performed everything from classical to arrangements of the band Radiohead, and he hosts the NPR classical show From the Top. Maestro, how did you get in connection with this pianist?
Well, Christopher O'Reilly first appeared with the orchestra several years ago. He came to play the Beethoven Emperor Concerto, and I had known Christopher's work both as a wonderful pianist and as a radio host for many years from his work on From the Top. And he's just such a fantastic artist that I thought it would be great to bring him back for this program, particularly because it's juxtaposing Russian and French music. And I just thought that the idea of having Christopher to play the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto No. 2 would be great on this program.
And how did you choose the Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto No. 2? That's such a fantastic piece.
Well, in thinking about how to balance this program, the program starts with Stravinsky's Scherzo alla Russe, which is very rarely played. It's a short Russian scherzo of about 4 minutes. I wanted something from the Russian repertoire that was really big in terms of a concerto. And certainly the second concerto of Rachmaninoff is one of the most well-known. The themes are very expansive. And I think it also allows the soloist a unique opportunity for expression, for singing, if you will, you know, these wonderfully long lines.
So you've worked with Christopher O'Reilly before, as you said, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So do you plan on, you know, any sort of difficulties in coordinating both the orchestra and the piano, all, you know, keeping them all together?
Well, I think part of the challenge with the second concerto is to ensure that that we're all on the same page in terms of the phrasing of the piece. I think that's so much of it because the phrasing, of course, originates from the basic sense of tempi. But what I find is that I always meet with the soloist before we ever go to actually work with the orchestra. And those are very important meetings because that's when we discuss tempi, we discuss the approach, we discuss the phrasing, we play through, work together. And so I think that knowing Christopher as I do, I'm sure he has great understanding and great feeling for this music. So once we have that meeting, then I think once we come together with the orchestra, all will go well in terms of the coordination.
Right, yeah. And can you tell us a little bit more about Christopher? Do you know anything else about him and his work?
I think he's just been such a great spokesperson for the arts. and for the importance of the arts, and really for, you know, for music in general, you know, that there are many different avenues, if you will, to not only get into music, but there's such a commonality of language. And I think he's really been someone who's been able to help classical music perhaps progress beyond the traditional venues and also, you know, sort of audiences that one might normally expect. I think that's one of his great gifts, I think, has been the way that he's helped people to come to classical music who perhaps have not had an appreciation of it before.
Will Christopher be doing any sort of talks with the audience or maybe any way of engaging the audience besides the music?
Yes, there will be a pre-concert lecture before the concert in which Christopher will appear. He's actually in town and going to be doing an evening with, titled An Evening with Christopher O'Reilly, where he will be playing and talking a bit about, not necessarily the Rachmaninoff on Friday evening, but talking to folks about, you know, his career and just giving them a chance to get to know him a bit as a person.
That sounds fantastic, and is sort of an intimate, you know, moment between audience and musician. I think that's a great way to draw in listeners, new and old, and I think that makes it much more appealing for audience members.
I'm very happy that we'll be able to have him featured, you know, outside of the concert itself.
Do you, or let me put you on the spot for a second. Do you or have you listened to From the Top, the radio show?
I have listened to From the Top, yes. I think it's, you know, fantastic that it is a program that showcases young talent.
I've never heard of that piece. Just really, I just loved it. And I love the way you are nearly standing at the keyboard, just sort of leaning on the bench. You ever hear of this guy, Jerry Lee Lewis? No? No. Not as good as you, but he stands up when he plays too.
And I think to give young people this opportunity to not only play, you know, for this radio audience, but also to interact with Christopher. I mean, he's really great about engaging the kids, and sometimes he plays along beside them. But he's really great at making them feel comfortable, to let them tell a little bit about themselves, about, you know, their likes or their dislikes. And I think that's unique, you know, because I think it lets kids be kids, but at the same time, it focuses on some of the great talent that really is out there.
So you briefly mentioned the opening work on this concert, and that is a piece by Igor Stravinsky, Scherzo a la Russe, and you said it's not really well known. How did you come into contact with this piece?
Well, I first heard this piece many years ago on a concert by the Philadelphia Orchestra, and I just remember thinking, boy, this is a neat sort of short work that could be used as an opener for a concert. And when thinking about this Russian-French combination, I needed a really short work to open the program, given the sort of breadth of the Rachmaninoff. And so this idea came about for the Stravinsky Scherzo a la Russe. And, you know, the more I sort of dug into it, if you will, you know, it was interesting to find out that it was actually an aborted film score for a wartime story from a Russian setting. And even more interesting for me was to find out that the original version of this piece was written for jazz band, was written for Paul Whiteman's band, who, of course, gave the premiere of Rhapsody in Blue. So it's a piece with an interesting history, and we just don't hear that much about it. But especially given that the original version was for a jazz band, and then you have on the second half of the program a piece like Ravel Bolero, which has some jazz inflection with the use of tenor saxophone and, of course, the great trombone solo, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's a nice way to open the program. So I think that people will be intrigued by it. It's very light sort of music, but at the same time, it has, you know, the certain Stravinsky flair and feel for rhythmic impulses that one has come to expect.
Right. Well, this looks to be an incredible concert. I mean, just the Piano Concerto No. 2 by Rachmaninoff is worth coming out and seeing, but you also have La Valse, Bolero, and the Stravinsky. So looks to be a pretty monumental concert. Do you have any sort of preparations yourself that you're getting ready for this concert?
Well, I think with a program like this, I think a lot about what the music means and about how to bring that to the orchestra. I mean, there's always a certain sensitivity for color and shape and phrasing that one needs when one approaches Ravel. And in terms of a concept for sound, I always draw heavily on what was happening historically during the time the piece was written. So I think that bringing those elements to the fore in rehearsal, I hope will have an impact on the way the orchestra plays this music.
Great. Well, are you going to be able to get any leisure time in there before the concert, or maybe a golf game or something?
I wish. Unfortunately, not. I think we'll be heavy into preparations or right up until concert time. But it should be a really fun program. I think both for the audience, I think they'll enjoy this program, and I know the orchestra is going to enjoy playing it for them.
Well, that concert will be coming up on Friday, March 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Capitol Theater in Wheeling. It's called Inspired by Dance. Thank you, Maestro Andre Ravel of the Wheeling Symphony Orchestra, for coming on and talking with us a little bit.
My pleasure.